Him. I'm sure many of you are aware tonight that Jeremiah was a man who's known as the weeping prophet. And someone rightly commented that there are more lamentations in the book of Jeremiah than there are in the book of Lamentations. He didn't seem to be very well received by the people that he faithfully preached for decades. And he had a great heart for people. There were those times when he became discouraged, but the word of God was burning in his heart, and he felt that he had that compulsion and that responsibility to reach out to men and women with the message of God's love. Now, he was a man who suffered imprisonment, and there were many other things that were said against him and about him, and in and through all of that, he stood firm for the Lord, and he never changed his message. And you could ask a very fair question tonight. Why was he willing to suffer and to plod on in the way that he did? Well, the answer is very simple. He was able to continue to go on with the Lord and to serve the Lord because of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God was precious almost beyond measure to him. It meant so much to Jeremiah, and you cannot read through the book Jeremiah without being taken with the very plain truth that here is a man who loved God's word. And he says there, in the words that form our text tonight in verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." And folks, every Christian ought to be like Jeremiah. We ought to praise the word of God. We know that sometimes you've heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And perhaps when we've read the Bible many times, we could feel, well, I'm not going to just be as diligent in reading as I ought to. Well, we need to continually feed upon it, because that is what Jeremiah is saying here. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We ought to praise God's word. We ought to be nourished by God's word. In life, I think it's important, and we've mentioned this before, it's important to try and get a balance, because we're in the world, and while we're not of the world, there are certain things that we do enjoy, and that can be nice to do together, places to go and places to see and things to aim for and all of those things which in themselves are okay, but they will not nourish your soul. It is the word of God itself that nourishes the soul of men and women. And over there in the book of Job, it says there, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." This was not the idle boast of an armchair theologian. This was a man who meant what he said. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And again, the psalmist over there in the Psalm 119, which has so much to say to us about specifically about the word of God, it says there in the verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mind." That's why people, Christians, come to meetings. Many Christians love meetings, and they hate missing meetings, and they will do whatever they can to get out to whatever meetings they can, because the word of God nourishes their souls. And like Jeremiah, we ought to praise the word. We ought, like him and like the psalmist and like Job, to be nourished by the word. We ought to hide the word in our hearts. The Word of God is a preventative. When you face 1,000 temptations, as you do in today's world, you need something to help you. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall not sin against thee." We ought to hide God's word in our heart. Brothers and sisters, we find consolation in God's word. The world disappoints you many a time. Its ways, its attitudes, even everyday life shows us that the world is broken and it's godless. And we turn to God's word as Jeremiah often relied upon it, and we find consolation in it. We find relief in it. Sometimes when we're anxious or maybe even confused, frustrated, we come to God's word and we read it, and we read words like over there in Philippians where it says, you know, to be careful, or the word meaning anxious, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you and I, like Jeremiah, we ought to prize God's word. And the truth of the matter is, in 2015, where it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart," that is not the lot of every Christian. But it ought to be. And it can be your lot and my lot as well. But as I looked at this statement and these words of gratitude and recognition regarding God's word, I thought, what a message there is here for the unsaved. You see, the Bible also tells us, and when we look at the words by themselves in Psalm 119, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." And that being the case, that lifts the word of God, onto a higher plane than anything else. Because it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And that is the way I want to look at these words tonight in verse 16. The title is, "Words Good Enough to Eat." Words good enough to eat. I want you to notice some quite simple thoughts regarding this. I want you to notice here that the Word of God, which is life-changing, can be found. The Word of God, which is life-changing, can be found. You see what it says there? "Thy words were found." What does that mean? What does that imply tonight to you and to me? Well, and it implies, first of all, that there is a hunger. That there is that searching for something. That there is that compulsion within man because of the emptiness of a soul that has him searching for something. And that is what it implies when it says, "Thy words were found." But not only is there that great need there, there is that searching, as we have intimated here this evening. I read the words the other week, I'm not going to turn to them now, in Isaiah 55 and 1, where the prophet there was standing as though in the marketplace, using the language of the market trader. And he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water." You can picture him down there in Lisburn Market, people walking all around him, and he's calling out, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Not many people would listen to him. But there may be people, as there may be people in this gathering tonight, and you are searching. You are searching for something that will change your life. I don't know if you've ever stood, and I've done this I don't know how many times, especially when it comes up to this time of the year, if you go to any shopping centre or anything, so many people are out, and everybody's rushing about, and we can understand people are shopping for Christmas and all, and that's good and nice and so on, but generally when you look at people, and you see, you're really watching the world go by. And you're seeing people very often, they're rushing around. And maybe like me, you've asked the question, you've looked at some woman or some man and said, "I wonder what their story is. I wonder what makes them tick. I wonder what they are pursuing in life. And very often, if you were to stop an individual and convinced of this, and you were to ask them, what are you seeking in life? And they would say to you, well, I am searching for something. Well, what are you searching for? And on more occasions than not, the person would not really be able to explain to you and to define for you what it is they are searching for. There's some of you tonight who are a little bit older than me, but I have to say tonight that I'm old enough to know that I've watched people in show business and in the movies and in the pop star life and all of these things for long enough to know that people are searching. And it seems that they have found something. Just the other week there was some sort of a concert or other to be had. Was it One Direction down in Belfast or Dublin or somewhere? And it was cancelled at the last minute, and all these young girls and strangely some boys as well, they were heartbroken that they weren't able to see this One Direction. And it's as though this was a matter, almost a matter of happiness or unhappiness for them. But very often, as you trace through the life of some of these pop stars or some of these other movie stars and so on, you will see that they seem to have it all. Anything they want that money can buy, they can have it. Any place they want to go as often as they want to go. And money so often, and power and fame, advise your friends. But we don't want that kind of friends. But anyway, advise your friends. But the thing is that after perhaps 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, you see that same person and they are a picture of unhappiness. They're a picture of concern is written all over their face. And in listening to them or reading what they have to say, even in their own words, there's no satisfaction. What has happened? They've been searching. They think they've found something that is the answer. And then the bubble burst. You see, the hymn writer had it 100% when they said, now none but Christ can satisfy. The hymn writer also said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. But here was a great discovery. He says, thy words were found. And men and women tonight, if you are searching, down in the deep recesses of your own heart, you know as no one else knows, that you are searching for something. God's word has the answer. And as you look at God's word tonight, and you consider his sweet promises to his people, when you consider and read and hear about the bitter judgments that comes upon sin, and you put yourself into the picture, recognizing that with God, one day you will have to do. Can you not look at God's word tonight and say, thy words were found, and I have found something that will change my life. Something that will alter my destiny. Something that will bring to me as an individual a contentment and a satisfaction and an inner joy that simply cannot be found anywhere else. I mentioned some people there in stardom and all of that, and it's amazing where God has Christians. I've read this, and apparently it is true that Angelina Jolie's brother is a born-again Christian, and there's somebody who sings now called Adele. And her dad is now, how evangelical he is, I don't know, but her dad is an evangelical minister, apparently. And there are people, and I'm not saying 100% sure that either of these people are Christians, but that's what I've read several times. But what I'm saying tonight is this. that people in those situations, we may say, well, they need to take a long look at what they're doing and why they're doing it and what it is doing to them or for them. But as you and I think of ourselves tonight, and we're not in Hollywood, and we're not famous tonight, and no desire to be either. And we have before us God's word. Here is something that we ought to prize above all the things that I have mentioned. Remember we girl on television, young girl on television one night, and they were looking for certain talent, for certain things and so on. And she was crying. She says, oh, I so want to be famous. I kept thinking, why? Why not just get a job and try and do something that's useful? But she was crying, oh, I so want to be famous. And for so many people that have went down that road of seeking for recognition, seeking for all that the world has to offer. Didn't Solomon speak so much about vanity? He knew all about riches. He knew what it was to be recognized and to be exalted as well. But when we look back on it all, he had so much to say about the vanity of worldliness. But the Jeremiah here, he says, thy words were found. What I'm really saying to you tonight is, if God will speak to your heart this evening and you will give heed to what we're saying, your search can end tonight. It can end tonight. And you can say, Lord, thy words have been found. Here is something that can truly change my life. Something that can transform me beyond a way that I can even comprehend at this moment in time. But not only here, as we look at these words that are good enough to eat, did he say that he had found them, and he says here, and I did eat them. We have the thought here of appropriation of God's word. Appropriation of God's word. What does it mean? It means not just reading it through and thinking, well, I know that's true because Mom says it is. Or reading that through because my granny used to say that this was true and I actually believe it is true. That's not appropriating the word. Appropriating the word is looking at the word that you have found before you that says that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that we will spend all eternity either in heaven with Christ and his people forever or in hell's damnation with the devil. And we believe all of that. But appropriating the word is taking it and it applying it to us personally, to your own personal individual circumstances. And I'm sure tonight you have heard it on more than one occasion. I spoke about a man one time here in the church. That was King Herod. And it says in the word that he heard the word of God gladly. He heard John the Baptist gladly. It even says that he did many things. Cleaned up his act a little bit. He needed to. I don't know whether he started treating people better or not, but he needed to do that as well. But the one thing that he didn't do was appropriate the word to his own life. You see, where it says here, and I did eat them, means that they made an impact upon him. That they were appropriated to his circumstances. And as we look at this tonight and apply it to unconverted people, that is what you need to do. To know about Jesus and to have that head knowledge is something that is only a starting point. And it brings no change in the life or the destiny of the soul. Over there in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, there's the story there of the sower going forth to sow. It says in verse 5 there, a sower went forth to sow his seed. We know that some fell on a rock and it sprung up and it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But it says there concerning some, it says that it fell by the wayside and was tramped down. And then in verse 8 it says, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. Now, whenever you read what the Lord gives as the interpretation of this parable, you see that there was only, now we need to get this straight, there was only one good ground. You have there, if you look at verse 5, it says, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down. There's a careless listener. You see, there's a person who is hearing the word, in a sense. But it doesn't mean anything. It's just another one of these messages about repentance and about hell and about the possibility of heaven. That's what it is, but they've just rejected. It's a picture here of a hardened heart. The careless ear. But it says there that some fell upon a rock and it sprung up and it withered away because it lacked moisture. Whatever the thought here is, people may look and say, oh listen, it sprung up, there must have been a root there. No, no, here's an emotional listener. Someone who perhaps get a little bit upset or thinks, well, oh, this is so good that I can have this kind of change, but they still don't appropriate it to their hearts. They still don't apply what they're hearing to their own circumstances. It says there, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Here's a person who comes and they listen, and all of the time their thoughts are of the word. Tomorrow, what will you have to do? Or what we can get. But there was that which fell upon good ground. It says it bare fruit an hundredfold. And men and women, that is appropriating the word to our own hearts and lives. That's what it means when it says, thy words were found and I did eat them. Words that were good enough to eat. He appropriated them to him there and then. And that's what you need to do. I want to read what it says over there in the book of Acts, in the chapter 13, in the verse 26. It says there, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. To you is the word of this salvation sent. Now you can read in the earlier verses in that chapter the story of God's love. And the word here to certain people is, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And I could lift that out of its immediate context tonight and say to you is the word of this salvation sent. This word that is life-changing, that is good enough to eat. I mentioned Isaiah 55. I do want to read with you, not the first two verses, which we looked at not that long ago, but verse 3. But to get the context, I'll read right down, and I'll give you time to turn to it, to Isaiah 55 with me. It says there, ho, everyone that thirsteth, and the thought there is of inner longing, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But now notice the emphasis on how you hear. Do you remember we spoke about the sowing of the seed? Was like the hearer of the word of God, the one that was careless, didn't really care. The other one that was emotional and thought, oh, this is great, but they didn't apply it to themselves. The other one that was so full of the world, it didn't matter to them, they just trod it underfoot anyway. But then there was the good ground, the one who heard well, received what they heard, and appropriated to themselves. It says here, incline your ear, and come on to me. Listen to it. Hear, and your soul shall live. You see, that was the message of the evangelical prophet Isaiah. Hear and your soul shall live. Now this was not, whenever he was saying this, he was speaking to those who ought to come to Christ. But he was really speaking to many who were walking around past him saying, why are you spending your labour and your money for that which satisfieth not? Why are you giving all of your efforts and the best that you have to a bubble that will burst? Why are you doing it? Could I ask you tonight, why are you doing it? Why spend the years, the best years that God has given to you, why waste them seeking for something that will not be found outside of God's word? Would you not say tonight, Lord, thy words have been found, they're for me, and I will eat them. I will appropriate God's word to my own circumstances. I will take God's word and I will apply it to my need. As it says here, hear, and the word here, where it says hear, means to hear with affection. To hear with intention of turning from sin. And to hear with appropriation. Hear and your soul shall live. Now again, the application there is very plain. Your soul shall live. Shall live. Shall live if you hear properly and appropriate it to yourself. But if you do not do that, you continue on in your deadness. And in the place of death. So as we think of these words that are good enough to eat, we have here a man who found words that could transform his life. He appropriated that word to his own circumstances. But I want to notice thirdly, that whenever a man or woman does that, and I ask you tonight to really think about this. When a man or woman does do that, the soul that has set free has a new song. You see what he says there in that verse 16? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. It's not surprising, but it is alarming when you see those, again, I have to refer to television, to that which is looked upon as success in the music industry and all of those things. And there is that air of happiness. And this is the way to go. And many, many young people, and plenty of older ones as well, think, boy, if I only could do that, or live like that, then that would be how I would have arrived. But the song doesn't last, because there's no substance to what they have. But whenever a man or woman appropriates God's word to their heart, and by that I mean they repent as God commands them to, and they receive Christ as their personal Saviour, then thy word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Why do Christians come along here on a Sunday night? I'm sure for most of you, you can think of at least one other place where maybe people would like you to come and visit or something. Why do you come together around the word? Because God's word is the joy and rejoicing of your heart. So it ought to be. And that is the invitation. That can be the experience of men and women if they will turn to Him. I would like to look with you briefly there just at what it says. And again in the Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 107 there. These are interesting words. The thought here is of people in trouble and in need. It says there in verse 20 of the Psalm 107, He sent His word and healed them. You see that? He sent His word and healed them. Healed what? Well, I'll give you one illustration. If you remember those words, He sent His word and healed them. And if you look with me there at Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, you would have read this chapter, I'm sure, on many occasions, and looked at verse 6 where it says, and this is a description of Israel at that time, but certainly it is applicable to mankind in general in a spiritual state. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The thought here is a wound that simply cannot be dealt with by the very best efforts of mankind. The whole verse is full of that. It cannot be bound up. You see what it says? It says they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The thing is getting worse. It's putrefying sores. A wound which cannot be healed. In other words, it is always fresh. Always as bad as ever. And yet the Lord says over there in the Psalm 107 and verse 20, that the word healed them. What is the thought there? Well, of course, in the spiritual realm, it is very simple. All of the sin that is found with the sinner tonight, the Lord can deal with it all. All of it. And how does he deal with it all? He deals with it all through his word. Now, Christ is the living word. But we're to preach this word. And this word shows you a Christ that died that you might be healed from your spiritual ailment. And I trust tonight, as you have listened so well, that God will apply the truth of his word to your heart. Do you remember the Lord Jesus there in John's Gospel in chapter 6? In the verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. It also says up over there in verse 50 concerning him again. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that is him, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Eat thereof and not die. It refers to you receiving Christ the living bread. Christ the word of God incarnate. And as I said to you tonight at the beginning of this meeting, you have here words that are good enough to eat. Every Christian here is glad. Glad that they have eaten of these words. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, I was speaking to somebody there just 2 or 3 weeks ago and asking about individuals in a particular place, and there was this one person who was really struggling when I last saw them as a Christian. But they're making progress now. And they're listening to the word now. And in order for them to find help and to go on with God, they can say that God's word is found and they are eating it. They are eating it. And there's another individual that was mentioned on that occasion, and I can well remember the time when that person was as rebellious and hard and bitter against the preaching of the gospel as anyone else could ever be. And then one night I preached on Christ the King. And the next day the news for me was that they found no sleep, no rest, until they made their peace with God. What happened? God's word was found. As they listened to the word, they realized, here's a word that can really change me. Change my destiny. That is so important. Put me on the narrow road. But can also change my entire life and outlook. I must apply this word to my heart, and they did that. Turned from their sin with all its awfulness and embraced Christ as Savior and Lord. And to this moment in time, that person can say that God's word is the joy and rejoicing of their heart. That can be your experience. If you will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Words good enough to eat. The alternative to receiving these words and receiving Christ and being saved from your sin is facing the judgment of God and answering for every time you rejected him. Going away out into a lost eternity, separated from everything that was good forever. I trust that that will not be the experience of anyone who listens to this message in the meeting tonight or in sermon audio, but rather that we will indeed come and taste and see that Christ is good. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and help you tonight to realize that these are words that are good enough.